We'll call the meeting to order. First item of business, we do need approval of the minutes dated March 23rd, members of 2011. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Representative Torkelson moves the minutes for March 23rd. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Members, we do have three bills up today. I'd also like to comment that we met with the Senate, conferred the Omnibus Ag Finance Bill. We did pass that out. We have a committee report, so the members that served on that, we'll need your signatures here right away today so we can get that turned in. We had some nice comments from the Commissioner of Agriculture and others. I believe we have a bill the governor can sign, so that's very favorable. First, we'd like to bring up, is Representative Erdahl here?
Yep.
All right, my friends, we're going to start this day off with Representative Erdahl and his Personal Responsibility and Food Consumption Act. And Representative Erdahl, we've heard this bill once before. I will...
Twice this year.
I will move House File 264, be recommended to pass. And where are we heading with this, Representative Erdahl?
Where I want to go, or where?
Yeah, where are we heading with this?
Judiciary.
Be recommended to pass and be sent to Judiciary Committee. So, with that, Representative Erdahl, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The purpose of today's coming before the committee is to simply have two amendments added, and then, my thought is we have discuss the bill plenty. If we could do the amendments that are offered with the after fine consultation with Mr. Carlson and Representative Morrow, Representative Welty, I think that this makes a great bill just a smidgen better.
Okay.
And so can we get the amendments?
Members, we did save paper today, and we printed the amendments. It's double-sided, all right? We're trying to do our part here. So, Representative Erdahl, which amendment would you like to take first?
The might as well do the A11.
Okay.
0189.
I have an amendment. It's A11-0222. It defines food.
That's the one I want.
Okay. All right. So I will move the A11-0222. Representative Erdahl, to your amendment. What does it do?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Basically, in testimony in previous times, it was brought up that food is not defined. And so this defines food. It uses the federal statute and basically says that food means articles used for food or drink for man or other animals, chewing gum, and other articles used for components of any such article. So that's pretty much what it does. It uses the federal statute to define what food is.
Okay, and Representative Erdahl, I saw an amendment earlier that said it did include dietary supplements, but that was an error, correct?
That was an error.
So it does not include?
It does not include dietary supplements. So pills, those types of things are not included.
Okay.
Not included in definition of food.
Okay.
Though our lawsuits could still go forward regarding those.
Okay. Any questions, members, to the amendment? Representative Ash.
Mr. Chair, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not Representative Morrow, but my question is, since Representative Morrow isn't here, is this increasing or making the standard even more difficult to meet with the word and? I believe Representative Morrow was moving towards or was advocating for that the violation is knowing, willful, or reckless. Now with the word and, you have to meet three different standards.
Oh, no, wrong. That's your wrong amendment.
Wrong amendment. Well, I won't ask a question on the next amendment. Just it's an outstanding question for the next amendment.
It is an outstanding question. All right, we'll save that one for the next amendment. Any other questions on the A11-0222 amendment? Hearing none. All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Erdahl, I'll move the A11-0209 amendment, and that's the willful and reckless amendment. And so if you would address Representative Hosh's question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and that's not my intent to make it more difficult. You know, the request was made to add the word reckless, and so I talked to the nonpartisan staff and asked them to add the word reckless.
All right. Any further questions to that amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. So now we have the bill. Representative Erdahl, to your liking, do you have any additional questions or comments? Or members, do you have any questions to the bill as amended?
From my standpoint, we've pretty much gone through this quite a bit. Some, most, I would hope, are in favor of what we're trying to do with this. Those who are against it aren't going to be swayed by anything that I say today.
That is true. Any further questions? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to hear if Mr. Carlson thinks the bill is any better or not.
Mr. Carlson. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, and begin, please.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Joel Carlson. I'm here on behalf of the Minnesota Association for Justice, and Representative Erdahl has asked me to say that I dislike the bill less with his amendments, and I'm happy to do that. I do think putting a definition in is helpful. I have significant concerns about the bill and its impact, and would address them in the Judiciary Committee. I was hoping to not make another excursion into ag, but happy to answer your question, Representative Hansen.
Mr. Carlson, you're welcome to come to Ag Committee anytime.
Thanks.
Right. Any further questions? Any further? Representative Falk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Erdahl, thank you for bringing this back again. I know we had so much fun the first time. A second round through the deep fryer was just as inviting, I guess.
Fall and hit your head, Representative Falk.
There we go.
I'm just teasing.
So, once again, I asked, and this bill has been changed a little bit, but how many jobs does this bill create?
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Falk, thousands.
Representative Falk.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Erdahl. I appreciate that. Do you have a fiscal note to substantiate that?
Representative Erdahl.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Falk, I don't have a fiscal note. On good authority, I know.
Representative Falk.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I know we speak lightheartedly about this subject, but I still think that this is once again a solution looking for a problem. It's one of the bills that I think does undermine a bit of the public trust that we have in the institution, because there is not a single verifiable case of this ever happening in the United States, and the only reference we have for it has been a Brazilian case, which I'm under the interpretation that we are not applying Brazilian law in United States of America as of now or any time in the future. So I do feel that this is once again a piece of policy that really muddies the work that we are doing here.
Mr. Chairman, just a brief comment to repeat myself from previous testimony. I have a list of, I think there were 42 different food and agriculture groups that have signed on endorsing this type of bill. And it is true that there have not been settlement findings, but there have been many lawsuits filed. Lawsuits cost money, whether an ultimate judgment is reached or not, and the consumers are paying for this. And so it's not correct to minimize that this isn't happening. These types of lawsuits do get filed, and they do cost money.
Representative Falk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Erdahl, I do understand that I'm not an attorney, but I'm seeing if there are any of our attorneys on the committee are here. I don't, Representative Morrow's not present, but just what is the cost to actually file a lawsuit versus actually going through litigation? Just the cost of actually filing, and then you actually have to have the process go forward, and then if you actually reach a settlement, typically a settlement is reached because one party deems themselves to have been somewhat at fault and have actually found that to be a preferable option versus going to court. And so to simply saying filing a lawsuit is prohibitively expensive or litigious, I don't think is quite accurate.
Representative Erdahl.
Well, Representative, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Falk, if I were to go through my folder here, my file, I believe that I do have the settlement of the McDonald's lawsuit and the Perlman case, which I believe was upward of $10 million. And I could see me maybe later tonight somewhere, and I'll try to give you the more definitive results in my file. But I'm sure that Representative Carlson can tell us how much money it costs to file a lawsuit and what the expenses are as a lawsuit is carried on for days, months, or years.
I'll remind everybody we are in the Ag Committee. Mr. Carlson, would you like to comment on that?
Mr. Chairman and members, the filing fee for a civil case in Minnesota is $325. That is charged both to the plaintiff and the defendant. Every motion that is filed requires a $100 fee be paid by both sides. And so that's just the cost of filing the case. A case has never been filed in Minnesota relative to this, and there are only two in the country. And the settlement that I think Representative Erdahl is referencing is from McDonald's relative to the trans fat in their French fries and was not a weight gain case. It was unrelated to the issue at hand.
Representative Falk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Carlson, if I could ask a question. The fact that McDonald's settled that, I guess some would assume that they had some level of guilt. I'm assuming that they have a fairly well-trained legal team to fight those things if they are not at fault and would likely have done so. I'm not an attorney, but just kind of understanding the basic rationale for why you hire those types of attorneys to go and prevent those types of egregious settlements if they are not somewhat legitimate.
Mr. Carlson.
Mr. Chairman and members, they freely entered into that settlement because they had told consumers they were going to take trans fat out of their product. They didn't do it. The money didn't go to any plaintiff. It was a public health group that brought the action, and it went to a public health campaign about the problems with trans fat in our diet. That's where the money actually went in the trans fat case.
Representative Falk.
And they entered into it freely with this express desire that the money that they paid be used for that public education campaign.
Representative Falk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Carlson, for that clarification. I don't have further questions at this point in time.
Thank you, Representative Falk. Representative Erdahl, how many states have adopted a similar bill?
23.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl.
And just let me, we really don't need to, excuse me, Mr. Chair, belabor this too much today because you have other items and we've already gone through this, but I just want to, because I found one thing in my file on the Pelman versus McDonald's case, and this is not the trans fat case. This is the case filed by minors against McDonald's because they gained weight. And in the information I have, it says, while the media mocked the suit for its alleged frivolity, the case survived through the U.S. Court of Appeals, Second Circuit, with McDonald's unable to simply laugh the plaintiffs out of court. Ultimately, McDonald's reluctantly settled when faced with the alternative of tens of millions of dollars in litigation expenses.
So, Representative Erdahl, I know you are an individual that I have a tremendous amount of respect for, and we joke quite a bit, but I take this very, very seriously. I want you to know this. You've worked extremely hard. You've been fair. You've worked with a number of different groups, both for and against. You've gathered a lot of supporters, and you listen to people who are opposed to this, and I respect you for that. Just want to get that on record. Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'm sorry to have walked in late. I was meeting with some constituent co-ops, and the meeting went long, so I apologize. Representative Erdahl, I want to thank you for putting the word reckless in there. I know that you and I talked at length about my concerns about behavior that I don't think the state needs to condone. Notwithstanding the concerns we've heard about passing this bill generally from a legal perspective, but I am grateful for you for doing that, and I know you've also attempted to deal with the definition of food as well. Mr. Chair, you know, from an ag policy perspective, I think really the issues we're hearing about are more from a civil law
and
concern.
Representative Morrow, you're right. I did remind everybody this is the Ag Committee right before you came in. So,
and
so
Mr. Chair, this bill did pass civil law and is now on its way to judiciary with a little stopover here in Ag.
That's correct.
That was just an observation.
Thank you, Representative Morrow. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'd renew my motion that House File 264, as amended, be recommended pass and be referred to the Judiciary Committee. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Erdahl.
Thank you.
Representative Anderson. Representative Anderson, you have two bills up today. Which one would you like to hear first?
I think your schedule, Mr. Chairman, called for House File 1347.
Okay. You want to go ahead and move that?
Mr. Chair, I move House File 1347 for possible inclusion in an omnibus ag policy bill.
So, all right. Representative Anderson moves House File 1347, and yes, you're right. We will hold this over for possible inclusion. To your bill.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman and members. House File 1347 is the second step in a process that will solidify the future of Minnesota's dairy industry. With this bill, we are establishing the entity that will develop and ultimately operate a dairy research, education, and consumer information center for the state of Minnesota. This bill follows on the process we started last session when we asked the Department of Agriculture to study and report on the establishment of a dairy research, education, and consumer outreach center. The department brought together a broad cross-section of interested parties and prepared a report that was presented to this committee earlier this session. It is that work that House File 1347 continues, and I believe you all have a handout that contains the work of that research. This center is to be a public-private partnership bringing together dairy producers, other industry stakeholders, including processors, lenders, nutritionists, and feed companies, the University of Minnesota, our state university system, and the Midwest Dairy Association. The objective of this center is to carry out research and development to meet the balanced needs of a dynamic dairy industry that combines market and community expectations for high-quality milk to be produced with minimal environmental impact and sensitivity for animal care in a profitable manner. This authority will also help to ensure that we have the highest quality education for people entering the dairy sector, and that consumers are continually reminded of the value of dairy products in our daily diet and the importance of the dairy sector to our state's economy. The new authority will provide the framework for bringing together these research, education, and consumer information activities. By creating a center for this activity, we are looking to bring together financial resources from both the public and the private sectors to make more efficient and effective use of our research, education, and consumer information dollars. I have witnesses here with me today for the milk producers and Dr. Bill Nelson to explain the program. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn the program over to my witnesses, and we'll stand for questions at the end of our testimony.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Welcome to the committee. State your name and who you represent for the record, and begin, please.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Bob LaFave. I'm the Executive Director with the Minnesota Milk Producers Association. And Mr. Chairman and members, House File 1347 provides a framework to improve dairy practices and systems to produce high-quality, nutritious dairy products right here in Minnesota. As Representative Anderson stated, this bill is a continuation of the work this body started last year. And he, as he also mentioned, there's some copies of that report that also was issued to you earlier this year. I just wanted to point out to you one item in there just to give you the idea of the expansiveness of the stakeholder group that the Department of Agriculture assembled. On page 5 is where you'll see the list that says special acknowledgments. The stakeholder group includes people like Dr. Jim Lynn with the University of Minnesota, Clint Fall, who's the CEO and president of First District Association, along with other processor representatives, Dr. Douglas Allen, who's the president of Bridgewater College, representatives from Farm Bureau and Farmers Union, as well as professors from universities outside of Minnesota, as well as lenders, animal nutritionists, and dairy farmers. These stakeholders made it clear that a private-public model that utilizes the strengths of each to keep operating costs in line with sustainable models was essential. And this bill sets that in motion. So now to the purpose of the bill. The purpose section basically articulates the many benefits of a healthy and growing dairy sector. There's obvious public health and nutrition benefits along with environmental benefits and significant economic benefits to our entire state economy. House File 1347 creates the entity that would develop and operate the Dairy Research, Teaching, and Consumer Education Center. The bill also establishes a board of directors, which will include the following members: the Commissioner of Agriculture, 4 gubernatorial appointees, 2 of whom must currently be engaged in the business of operating a dairy farm, and 2 of whom must be representatives of a Minnesota-based corporation actively engaged in working with or serving Minnesota's dairy industry. The Dean of the University of Minnesota College of Food, Agriculture, and Natural Resource Sciences, or the Dean's designee, a representative of a trade association that represents the interests of milk producers, a representative of the Minnesota Division of the Midwest Dairy Council, a member of the Ag Education faculty at the Minsky system. This board will have the authority to determine where a facility might be located and will propose how it is to be financed. The bill specifies the number of facilities and activities that are expected to be a part of the dairy center. The board will be determining how to finance the development of the center and ultimately how to pay for its ongoing operations. It's expected that the state will have a role in this development and ongoing operation. But the clear underlying intent is that this will be a public-private partnership. The bill also provides for the status of employees of the authority. Those persons who are employed, who are employees strictly of the authority, will not be state employees. However, persons who are currently employed at the University of Minnesota and Minsky will not lose their status as employees of those systems by virtue of conducting research or teaching at this new center. Accounts of the authority will be subject to annual audit, and the board will be required to prepare and submit annual reports to the chairs of the House and Senate Ag Committees and to the governor detailing its activities. As Representative and I mentioned, there is a broad cross-section of dairy interests that have been involved in developing this framework for the Dairy Research, Teaching, and Consumer Information Center. The board of this new authority will have the responsibility to bring this concept to fruition. The bill does not call for an immediate appropriation. It simply puts this authority into place so that it can begin the basic work of forming itself and determining who will be at the table as we embark on the development process. There will also be work to refine the objectives of the center so that we are undertaking research and developing a teaching curriculum which meets the practical needs of a growing dairy sector. At this point, I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Bill Nelson, principal of Nelson Dairy Consultants, who is also one of the stakeholders involved in the process. He will be able to provide some additional examples of the importance of a new facility here in Minnesota.
Thank you. Dr. Nelson, welcome to the committee.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and ladies and gentlemen. It's my first chance to be in this building, so looking forward to it.
We're glad you're
Nobody
here.
Nobody told me you were supposed to wear a tie. So.
No one told Representative Kath either. I'm teasing. You don't have to wear a tie in the House. That's only the Senate. They're a little stuffy.
I'm not only intimidated by the ties, but the written statements that everybody has ready. I'm going to pretty much speak from my heart and from my experience of the last 20 years in the dairy industry.
Perfect.
In Minnesota. William Nelson is my official name, and I am president of Nelson Dairy Consultants. And I've been working in that capacity in Minnesota since 1990. I got my PhD and did a lot of research and got educated at the University of Wisconsin in the late 80s after graduating from St. Olaf College just down the road in Northfield. One of the reasons I went to the University of Wisconsin is because they had a unique dairy research and teaching facility there. The Dairy Forage Research Center, which was also funded by the federal government, allowed the University of Wisconsin to have a 500-cow modern research facility where students could do research and learn about dairy cows. And that was a big draw for me after I left St. Olaf, and possibly and probably one of the big reasons that I went to Wisconsin and not to the University of Minnesota to get my PhD in dairy nutrition. That being said, I'm back in Minnesota for the last 20 years, and Minnesota is beautifully poised to take advantage of a huge world growing demand for dairy products. I heard the question in an unrelated bill earlier this morning, how many jobs will this create? The dairy industry is poised to literally create thousands of jobs, and not just to provide you and I with our yogurt and our skim milk, but to manufacture and package and provide the world with a lot of export products. It's just there's so much opportunity in this industry for Minnesota. We've got producers on one end that are completely capable of taking dirt and water and turning it into dairy products. We've got a whole industry infrastructure that's making money, paying taxes, doing all these wonderful things to provide those producers with support, from equipment manufacturers to veterinarians to nutritionists like me to people who are building their facilities to the truckers that are hauling their milk to the world-renowned manufacturers that we have in this state like Kemp's and Land O'Lakes that are getting retail products to the shelves. We're poised to really be a player in the dairy industry and in the world export of dairy products. One place I think Minnesota has maybe fell behind other states is having a real modern, state-of-the-art, on the cutting edge research and teaching facility. As I mentioned, that's one of the reasons I went to Wisconsin to get my postgraduate degrees. They had a great facility there. I deal all the time with Minnesota companies who are manufacturing products or producing byproducts that are consumed by our dairy producers. They'll present to me, for example, a trace mineral company that's out in Chaska will present to me the research that they've done on their products. And they'll say, we went out to a private institute in New York and did our research, and here it is. I hear this all the time. We did our research somewhere else other than in the state of Minnesota. That's one small piece of it, but I think from my own experience, the biggest benefit to have a cutting-edge facility in this state is that we train people and we keep people in this state who are trained in the dairy industry and the current and coming technologies that are going to make us a player in the world market.
And, Doctor, you don't need a tie, you don't need notes. You did a fantastic job. I mean, that's what we need to hear. People that are extremely passionate about it and have the background, the professional background. You mentioned the Wisconsin facility. I understand there's facilities in Iowa and Idaho, I believe. Are you familiar with, are there facilities similar to that in those other states, do you know? Or you do know, other states have similar facilities?
You know, to be clear on the Wisconsin facility, that was a joint effort by the state of Wisconsin and the federal government. The U.S. Dairy Forage Research Center is the name of and largely responsible for the funding of that facility in Wisconsin.
Okay.
I think part of the reason that they did that is they had an old ammunitions plant with a lot of land that was being underutilized, so they took that land around Baraboo, Wisconsin, and they farmed it and built a dairy facility and worked in cooperation with the University of Wisconsin to do you know, great research and teaching there.
Thank you. Representative Anderson, Bruce.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dr. Nelson, why do you... it used to be that Minnesota was like number three or number four in dairy, and now it's way below there. And I remember being in FFA in high school back in the 60s that we used to go down to the Answer Farm for Land O'Lakes and look at... Is this the similar type of situation, this dairy research facility, that's going to be like an Answer Farm that Land O'Lakes has got down in Fort Dodge, or similar to what you're talking about over in Wisconsin?
Dr. Nelson.
I think there's a big difference between the Answer Farm and the federal and state research facility in Wisconsin. And the Answer Farm, Land O'Lakes is both a competitor of mine and a respected producer of dairy products in the state. So, you know, they tend to serve their corporate desires with their Answer Farm. I mean, if they want to take a product and take it out to the field and say, boy, we got extra milk production by feeding this product, that's all kind of done in-house. There's not a lot of independence to it. I think there would be a difference between this facility and a corporate private research farm. And that's why a lot of the ingredient people that I deal with have their research done at universities, so that it's unbiased.
Representative Anderson.
So, Doctor, what would you say is the reason that Minnesota's lagged behind then, as far as dairy?
Dr. Nelson.
Oh, gosh, how much time do we have?
We have an hour and 10 minutes.
I wouldn't say we've lagged behind. I mean, maybe that's an inappropriate way to put it, because we've got a very diverse industry, and we always have. And what we've lost in our industry is people who have not moved forward with technology or ideas or economic realities, and they've been forced out. That doesn't mean we don't have some of the most forward-thinking, aggressive, progressive, profitable dairy producers in the state. We do, and those are still here. It's the ones that weren't willing to change with the times that have gone out of the business, and we've lost producers and cows and milk production because of that. Well, that's really happened for about 100 years. It's nothing new. And so other states have taken advantage of it. Other states that have passed us up in that list that you talked about, like New York, like New Mexico, like Idaho, have taken advantage of new facilities, modern facilities, and labor efficiency, facility efficiency, lifestyle efficiency that the Midwesterners haven't done as quickly.
Representative Anderson.
So, Mr. Chair, Mr. Nelson, Dr. Nelson, we could be like California and Texas with the $100,000 cow herds.
Don't know of a 100,000 cow herd yet, but I know of a 10,000 cow herd in California.
Representative Anderson. All right. Dr. Nelson, two things that I have with this. One, what do we need to do differently to get our youth extremely encouraged? Because like you mentioned, we have a tremendous amount of opportunity in dairy production, livestock production, agriculture in general. And I believe you said it or alluded it to, and I've said it in the past, never has there been more opportunity in agriculture as there is today. So one of my questions would be, what could we be doing differently to get the youth of this state encouraged and excited about agriculture, specifically dairy?
As one of my colleagues and salespeople say, don't ever forget about show and tell. We spend a lot of time telling people what the future is and how to do it, but it's so much more powerful to show them. If you can get our youth and we have incredibly talented, smart young people that have grown up on dairy farms or are interested in the dairy industry, if we can get them on a facility that is a real facility and not a facility that happens to have cows in it but is really about 40 years behind the times, they can see how that newer, larger facility operates with modern thinking and modern technology and modern efficiencies, they can be excited about going into the dairy business. Because going into the dairy business is not not generally going to be, well, I'm going to buy 40 cows and use my dad's barn. That's not what the future of the dairy industry is. We need to have a facility where we can show and tell.
And Dr. Nelson, to that point, we have many people who try to paint you and I and others with the ugly brush, if you will, because of embracing new technologies. How do you address that, or what are you doing, or what is the dairy industry doing as far as an image campaign as well?
Well, you're getting closer to the retail product end of it, and it's not an area that I'm
or animal husbandry. Animal husbandry, some of the concerns about the environment, the permitting issues that come along with that.
Yeah.
Do you see those issues as well?
Absolutely, and of course I'd want to, you know, I think there's a huge spectrum in any discussion you have on that topic, but I think the clients that I have recognize that in order to produce a quality dairy product, that means much more than just the milk. Nowadays, that means air quality, that means groundwater quality, that means responsible nutrient management. And I think they're all more than willing to participate in that. Again, I think in Minnesota, we're positioned to deal with those issues reasonably well, much better than the large producers in the Central Valley of California, who, from my perspective, can't stay there in huge feedlots with the air quality they have, with the poor access to water that they have, with the other demands on land in that area that they have. We Midwesterners, we can handle that. And producers recognize that they're going to be exposed to those types of requirements by the food industry, and they're ready to deal with it.
And do you and the people that you represent, do you actually care about your animals?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think one big myth from the city folk about animal agriculture is that somehow it's profitable to punish animals, and it just isn't. You know, the ads that you see that about happy cows being productive cows, it's a little hokey, no doubt about it. But the reality is, a happy, comfortable cow, used to a regular routine and quality feed, good nutrition, extremely comfortable barns, is the most productive dairy cow. Healthy animals are profitable animals. And so, frankly, I don't get a chance to get in those discussions too much because I'm usually, I know I'm right, but I'm arguing with somebody who won't listen to me.
Thank you, Doctor. We do have a couple more questions. Representative Morrow.
Doctor, welcome to our world. I think this, Representative Peter Anderson, I have a few questions for you. One, how would this bill, if it became law, interact with the New Sweden Dairy and the Hughes College of Veterinary Medicine's relationship with that dairy?
Representative Anderson, would you like to take that? Or
I will ask Mr. LaFave to comment on that.
So, Mr. LaFave.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morrow. That facility is a veterinarian teaching facility. That's its primary focus. And it's a wonderful, again, example of a public-private partnership where right now, I would say if you're a student that wants to become a dairy veterinarian, you would want to go to the University of Minnesota because they have numbers of cows that are going through there. The show and tell that Dr. Nelson talked about, there's about 6,000 or 7,000 cows that are calving. That's a very important part in the life cycle for the cow. So these dairy vet students are seeing that and experiencing that every day. This facility that we're talking about will not have any relationship with teaching dairy vet students. That's something with the vet college. So there is no relationship. This is more animal husbandry. It's nutrition, everything else that's described in your report, separate from veterinarian students.
Representative Morrow.
And Mr. Chair, I do have a few questions. And New Sweden Dairy is in my district. That's why I'm familiar with it. But Representative Anderson, did it take an act of legislature to set up the New Sweden Dairy relationship with the University of Minnesota?
Representative Anderson.
I was not here. I'm not familiar with that, Representative Morrow.
I honestly, Mr. Chair,
Morrow?
With your indulgence, thank you. I honestly don't know the answer to my question. I don't think it did, but I don't know that. But I think that'd be a question worth asking. Did it take an act of the legislature to do what we are doing successfully when it comes to the veterinary school and the dairy industry?
Mr. Lefebvre.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Morrow. No, there was no act of legislation that was needed. I think you have to keep in mind, that's a teaching facility. And to do research, you may unfortunately crash a cow, if you will, the cows may become a little suspect if you got to do some research. There they can do data collection, okay, but they can't do the type of research that perhaps Dr. Lynn could talk more about if you needed to know some of the specifics. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a PhD. So there's differences related to a dairy. So that was just a partnership they built on their own where they can do teaching. And the needs here that we're talking about are significantly different.
Representative Marr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I think, Representative Andrews, these questions will be for you. And I'm fine with the idea. I think it's great. I'm not sure whether we need legislation to do this. I'm going to raise a set of questions rather than ask them individually, if I may, Mr. Chair, to speed things along. Representative Andrews, I'm looking on page one of your bill, and I do have a question about whether we include a purpose statement or not. I personally am of two minds. I know Representative Beard in another committee continually objects to purpose statements being in bills, and I leave it at that. My second question is why we're setting up specifically a public corporation, and if you could address why you've decided to set up a public corporation as the vehicle for doing this. On page two, and again, Mr. Chair, I'm just doing this to try to speed things along. On page two, Representative Anderson, I'm on line 2.10, and two of the members to be appointed to this board of directors must be representatives of Minnesota-based corporations. I'm wondering why you chose corporation as opposed to businesses. Why? I'm imagining maybe someone in a partnership or another business form, and whether they'd be excluded or whether you chose the word corporation specifically. Turning to page three, Representative Anderson, I have a question as to whether you have a site in mind already. I'm sorry, am I going too quickly, sir?
I didn't hear your last question.
And I just wonder, on page three, you've got facility design and development operation at 3.14. I'm wondering if you have a facility site in mind in the state of Minnesota. And then finally, Representative Anderson, on page four, there's mention of hiring employees. I'm not clear on the funding for this, where the funding would come from. Would it come from the ag budget, and whether there's a fiscal note for this bill. And with that, Mr. Chair, thank you for allowing me to ask that series.
Yes, thank you, Representative Morrow. Representative Anderson, first, the question about the purpose statement does come up. We just had that debate with the Green Acres bill. I think everybody remembers that. We just had heard that. Purpose statements have been incorporated in the past, and people are, they're all over the board on that. So the other questions is the corporate structure, public corporate structure, if there's a site location. And Mr. Lefebvre, if you could answer the funding question again, because I think you addressed that earlier. And could you remind the committee members here, this is a renewal of an existing bill, right? Who was the author to bring this forward initially? Do you recall that? As far as to establish this this idea.
Okay, Mr. Chair, representatives, the idea of doing this public-private partnership and setting up this authority really came out of the stakeholder group.
Okay.
That I referenced on page 5 of the report that y'all received. It was crucial to have a system where it can be investment by the dairy industry, along with public resources. So therefore, that's in looking at other situations that are out there right now within Minnesota that use that as a template to help build this. So there are other circumstances out there. And that's what was used, again, as a template to build this authority for this facility. This is a new bill as a result of those stakeholders.
Okay. Mr. Lefebvre, the other two questions about, has there been a site located currently, and the funding mechanism for this specific bill?
Mr. Chair, representatives, there is no site that has been chosen. That would be one of the responsibilities of the authority to continue to work and develop where that site would be. And secondly, the funding for this, again, keep in mind right now we're not asking, this bill does not ask for any appropriations. Again, keep focused on the private-public partnership on this. We're at the point now by creating this authority where the private sector, the dairy industry, has been together and discussing this issue, and now it's time to begin raising funds from the dairy industry to help kickstart this thing. At the same time, for building of this, absolutely, there certainly could be, it's certainly appropriate to ask for bonding appropriations. Again, we're not asking for any at this time. And potential for some operating resources. But there will be an annual report that is given to the House and Senate Ag Committees, as is set up in this legislation that Representative Anderson has brought before you today.
And a follow-up on that, the question was brought up about the research and why we'd need legislative authority or direction in order to go to do this. And it brought up the example about the New Sweden dairy. And what they developed there, I've been out there, and it is very nice, state-of-the-art. And what they have out there, it's genius as far as what they do, because they have all these students come into their facilities, and they get to know these students. These students get to know them, and they're able to build that relationship, if you will. And so, I mean, once those students graduate, what a great avenue to make them an offer or bring them in. I think it's phenomenal, and it's genius on the part of the people that invested their money to do that. On the research side of things, if it is privately funded, the individuals that are going to be doing that research are less likely to share that information with the general public. And I think that's where the difference comes in. And maybe you would like to comment on that, Mr. Lefebvre.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. This facility is that's being proposed by the dairy industry. The research, it's extremely important, as Dr. Nelson said, to have it unbiased. That's why absolutely they need to have the University of Minnesota as a partner within this. We see that by creating this authority and not having it done within the University of Minnesota, we'll save everybody money. It will save building costs. It will save operating costs to create a more sustainable research model for the future.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To clarify, I'm fine with the concept. I don't want to speak for the Davis family because I haven't asked them this specific question, but in talking with them about how they developed this facility at New Sweden, I think the lack of government, our involvement in the legislature was a good thing, that they would have preferred to simply work with the University of Minnesota and get her done. So I just wonder whether this is a help or a hindrance to have the legislature involved, and that's why I raised that question. And I will leave it to Representative Anderson at a later date. Don't answer the question now about changing the word corporations to businesses on line 2.10. But Mr. Lefebvre, I'm still not clear on the funding, because if it's a public-private partnership, it seems to me that the public is going to be expending some resources along with the private industry. For example, the payment of the employees conceived of in this bill. Maybe the dairy industry is going to pay for those employees. I just don't know that, and that's why I'm asking the question.
Good question. Mr. Lefebvre.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Representative Moore, it is a good question, and those are some questions that this authority will be able to answer moving forward. I don't have a crystal ball, and I can't say that 15 or 20% is going to come from public and vice versa. I think that we're at the point by creating this authority allows the opportunity for the dairy industry to move forward with the concept to try and help our future dairy industry, the state of Minnesota, by strengthening our dairy industry through teaching and research. You're absolutely right. Keep in mind, research, the Davis relationship with the College of Vet Med is absolutely unique, and that's one of the things that the stakeholders that the Department of Agriculture pulled them together, and they were looking at that as a model also, because they're obviously familiar with it. But that model is not the best model for what is needed within the dairy industry. That's what the stakeholders came up with. So, therefore, this type of a model is where we're at.
Thank you. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this question is probably for Mr. Lefebvre. Great effort. My question is, what kind of timeline do you think we might be on here as far as when we might actually see this facility up and running? I think it's a great idea, but I would hope that our involvement would not slow down the process.
Mr. Lefebvre.
Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson. At Minnesota Milk, we've been very patient. We started talking about this with about 8 years ago. So the dairy producers in Minnesota, in particular Minnesota Milk Producers Association, have had an interest. It's only become of late that really the more of the remainder of the dairy industry sees this also as important. In part, I think, because over the last 6 years, we've been growing the dairy industry in Minnesota. Instead of seeing losses of dairy cows, losses of farmers, and on, now we've seen the turnaround. So now there's the excitement, and there is definitely a need as a result of that. You're not going to be able to have a strong dairy industry unless you have strong teaching and research facility to go with that. So, directly, your time frame, as soon as this is passed, the authority, the board of directors can be set up, and fundraising can begin from the industry. So the faster we raise money, the faster we'll be able to get things moving.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a brief follow-up. I see that you have a reporting date of February 1st of next year. I would just hope that waiting for us to reconvene to hear your report would not hold up progress.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have to follow up on Representative Morrow's comments, because when I hear public resources, that's public money. You know, at some point, looking through the report, I see Idaho has put $10 million of state money and $10 million of university money into it. I think Iowa State sold a resource and had $15 million. So it appears that the bill lays a foundation for public investment. And, you know, we've been hearing all session that we have to live within our means, and that it's all about priorities, and that we can't raise any revenue. We have to cut general dollars. And here we have another bill that kind of sets the foundation for more spending. Now, there is an option with bonding where you could have revenue bonds where the industry could tax itself to have a revenue stream that could pay the bonding. I'm wondering if you've looked at that option.
Mr. Lefebvre.
Mr. Chair. Representative Hansen, yes, those models have been looked at as possibilities, along with many others. And I think that's, again, goes back to the point of why having an authority, this board that would be charged with learning more and investigating that to come up with what is the right answer.
Representative Hansen?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would hope that then if the industry is looking at that the first step isn't to come back to the public trough, that if that's it would be to look at some other type of providing revenue, because we're hearing over and over and over again we've got to live within our means and cut. So I'm hoping that it isn't back next year and the year after that and the year after that with a request for general tax dollars or general bonding dollars, because I think there's some other priorities relating to the disabled and the disadvantaged and that are a higher priority, frankly.
Dr. Nelson.
Maybe I can address your question a little bit, since you brought up the Iowa State example. I believe that's the Iowa facility that you're talking about. You know, that's 100% funded within the university system. It doesn't have corporate participation in it like this concept does. And I think the reason for this idea is to avoid that. You know, we try and put a research facility up, the University of Minnesota, 10, 12 million, whatever you want to talk about, and ongoing costs that are higher than this model would would give you. I think the idea is to build a much more just as functional, just as capable research and teaching facility, but have private dollars support it in addition to public dollars. And it, so on one hand, you can look at it as it's going to cost us money, but I think the model's idea is to save the state state money relative to its traditional investments in these types of facilities by getting corporate or business participation in the operation of it and the building of it. So a partnership.
Thank you, Doctor. And Representative Hansen, living within our means doesn't mean no investments at all. And if we don't have people working, we cannot provide services to those in need if we do not have people working to pay for those services. And that's the point we're trying to make here as well. The dairy industry is, they provide so much to the economy of this state. And they, like the doctor said earlier, they pay taxes, they employ people. And that's the whole concept here, I believe, what Representative Anderson's doing as well. Again, living within our means doesn't mean no investments at all. And I just want to reiterate, we cannot provide those critical services if we don't have people working to pay for those services. Representative Eakin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And I just wanted to point out that as far as resources are concerned, there are resources that are available that we, you know, want to make sure we're spending them in the most effective way possible. And the AgriFund is one example of that, that is being established for the purpose of, you know, generating more effective use, I guess, of our resources in rural communities to make sure that we're developing a thriving agricultural economy. So I see this as one of those areas where maybe, again, we can effectively utilize our resources for the purposes of enhancing our rural economic development. So, thanks.
Very nice. Thank you, Representative Eakin. Okay, we do have other testifiers as well. And let's see. Mr. Peterson, would you like to testify? And anybody else who would like to testify for or against? And Mr. Lefebvre, before you leave, the question that was brought up about considering changing the verbiage in lines 2.10 from corporations to businesses, could you give that some consideration and get back to us later as well?
We certainly will, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Mr. Peterson, welcome to the committee. Please state your name and who you represent for the record and proceed, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tom Peterson. I represent the Minnesota Farmers Union, and we are supportive of the bill. We passed a special order of business at our state convention in November after much debate, and we had quite a few resolutions on this because I thought it was going to be a big issue this last session. Our big concern is a lot of times, and it kind of comes back to the New Sweden Dairy, and sorry, Representative Morrow's not in here, but when that partnership started, for example, that's a larger facility. And, you know, keeping in mind that the average dairy facility in Minnesota milks 100 cows, but we have a lot of dairy farms that milk 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 cows. And I think a lot of those producers that we represent were worried that once we started the New Sweden Dairy, how was that going to impact them? Were the vets that training there, were they getting the kind of knowledge and help that was going to help them, you know, in this situation? And I give a lot of credit to the University of Minnesota and Dean Trevor Ames. We met with him right away when we had our concerns about this, and we learned a lot of the things that they were doing there, and that really helped our membership. And so the concern was very similar to this facility, that, you know, it revolved around an issue of size and what's going to be in it for those producers that are maybe on the smaller end. If we build a 1,500 cow facility or 1,000 cow facility, is it going to be helpful to them? Not that we don't want to help the larger facilities too, but we want to remember that, you know, that in Stearns County, for example, we have a lot of 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 cow dairies. And I think that's what, you know, we're really interested in looking at that. And so we had a healthy debate. You know, we decided, and we had a debate to just oppose it, to limit it to 300 cows. We ended up at 500 cows, but that's an arbitrary number. And I think more as we've, you know, I was in the committee and I was involved in the process, that I thought all the groups worked to try to address a lot of the different issues that might come up. And I feel pretty confident that would happen. We would like to see public dollars involved at some point and public interest, because I think that, you know, a lot of the farmers do have concerns about once, you know, how much, you know, we're not opposed to corporate dollars in it, but a lot of times then you get the corporate interest in that, and what they want is understandable what's going to be put forward. And so that would be something that, you know, we'd look at. But I think that, too, there's a lot of interesting issues. Our farmers, too, were concerned about, we do have research facilities here, too. We have one in Morris, and we have one in St. Paul. Our members, too, when this was being discussed, were very upset about the facility also being closed in Crookston at the same time we're proposing to do this, and so that the state has kind of cut back. And is this a good idea or a bad idea? And so continue to work on it. We want to be a part of the process. I compliment all the other organizations for reaching out and trying to listen to some of the issues that we had. So, thank you.
Mr. Peterson, you're absolutely right. The people that you speak for, they are essential. Brings extreme value to the state as well. And one of the things that I admire about Commissioner Fredrickson is he doesn't pick winners or losers, you know, and it's this thing, we're all in this together. It's agriculture. And so I think he would echo a lot of things that you say as well. If I could speak for him just for a moment. I don't mean to speak for him, but I just want to reiterate that as well. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Any questions for Mr. Peterson? Any additional questions for Representative Anderson? Representative Falk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know that the way this is drafted, or the way it's intended to be drafted, currently doesn't require a fiscal note, but I think there have been some legitimate concerns raised regarding potential costs, agency, just how we handle the logistics of the money. So I think it's appropriate to request a fiscal note on this. Maybe not for the current biennium, but if this is going to be a multi-year process, to look at that going forward.
Yeah, for years out. Representative Anderson, there's some marching orders there, and I would agree. You could request that.
Yeah, we will work on that.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Any other questions for this? No, Representative Anderson, do you have any closing comments before we hold this over for possible inclusion?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. A lot of good questions raised, and I myself asked questions when Kurt Zimmerman was here about this proposal. Namely, size was a concern, and that's why I was attracted to this type of bill, to set up this body to look at that and come up with the best idea that they think would work. Location, same thing. The location hasn't been set yet, but that would be studied by this commission, and again, they would come up with the best location that they would see. It was also mentioned that California, maybe Minnesota, falling behind states like that. I think we have a great opportunity here in Minnesota. California is seeing some environmental problems, water problems, things like that. And from what I've read, some of the dairy herds are leaving that state, moving to Idaho, for example. And I think Minnesota, with our fertile soils, we can produce our own inputs for feeding livestock. We have a great opportunity to recapture some of those cow numbers and the gallons of milk and such, and this would help us move forward with the research part of it to make our state's dairy industry the best in the country, I believe. So with that, I would move this bill 1347 for possible inclusion in the policy omnibus bill here in the Ag Committee.
Thank you, Representative Anderson, and members, so moved. Representative Anderson, next bill is House File 625. That's your bill as well. You want to go ahead and move that once again, and you're wanting this one for possible inclusion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would move House File 625 also for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill here in the Ag Policy bill.
All right. Representative Anderson moves House File 625 to be held over for possible inclusion. To your bill, Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, members. This bill has been around this session. We've been at a couple of committees, and some changes have been made. This represents a lead-all amendment from the Civil Justice Committee, I believe. And I think this is kind of a win-win situation for the DNR and for cattlemen around Minnesota. The DNR has kind of embraced this idea of allowing grazing on some of their public lands, and I believe the figure is about 7,000 acres so far being grazed of DNR land, and there are many thousands of acres of possible more land to be grazed. And a concern by cattlemen had to do with a liability issue of their running cattle on public lands, and we've tried to address that and give them some comfort here when they are grazing their cattle in a short grazing period on public land. Some questions raised, such as four-wheelers, things like that. Well, this would be only on land of WMAs where motorized traffic is not allowed, so that wouldn't be an issue here. Terms of fences, possibly dogs running out into areas where these cattle are grazing, and of course an injury situation for people. And we've worked on this bill, and we have some testifiers here, both from the DNR, I believe, and the Cattlemen's Association to talk about this bill and the situation where it would help the DNR in some of their maintenance issues with their land and in some select areas, and also help cattlemen who are looking for additional pasture land to run some of their cattle in a very controlled manner from roughly June through September, those summer months, on some of our state public lands. So with that, I'd like to call up a couple of testifiers. I believe the DNR is here.
Okay. See them making their way up. So please state your name for the record, who you represent, and begin, please.
Mr. Chair, my name is Dennis Simon. I'm the Wildlife Management Section Chief for the DNR Division of Fish and Wildlife.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. As Representative Anderson said, the department currently actually grazes right now about 10,000 acres of state wildlife management area statewide, primarily in the northwestern part of the state and western areas over by Lac La Parle. We have a real interest in expanding those grazing opportunities. We think that, and we know that proper grazing provides a very significant ecological resource value to our native grass stands. And as we build larger complexes and we partner with other agencies like the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Nature Conservancy to provide a complex of grasses that make it economical for grazers to put up fences and to do short rotation grazing on these lands, we feel that there's a lot of opportunity for us to not only achieve our ecological benefits, but benefit grass-based cattle industry also.
Thank you. Any questions, members? Representative Hansen. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Simon. I think it's a good management tool to have the short grazing in there. My question is on the posting portion of the bill, and just is what fund pays for that? Is that the Game and Fish Fund that would pay for the posting and the staff, or is that general fund, or where do those dollars come from?
Mr. Chair. Representative Hansen, the support for the program would come from the Game and Fish Fund. We would, as we typically do with any use of public lands, we determine the value of the resource or the service that we're getting. We would determine the lease rates on the property, and any cash that would be paid by the producer above and beyond the ecological benefits of the grazing contract would go into the Game and Fish Fund and offset the relatively minor cost for posting and management.
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, I think that's a good answer. I'm just checking to see if it needs to make another stop here in another committee because of that, but maybe you can work that out. I think the answer said there would be no cost, but it may be something to look at a little bit.
Yes, fair enough. Thank you, Representative Hansen. Any other questions for the testifier? Seeing none, you did a great job. No additional questions. Do we have any other people that would like to testify?
Mr. Chairman, if I could add, that was a good point brought up by Representative Hansen, that this would not be a freebie given to the cattlemen. They would actually sign a lease contract and have a payment in kind or an actual payment that they would pay for this grazing privilege, and the cost incurred for signage would come out of that payment from the cattlemen.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Please state your name, who you represent for the record, and begin, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee, for your time. Ted Reichman from Central Minnesota, past president of the Minnesota State Cattlemen. And I just would like to echo many of the things that Dennis just said. It's been a great start to this situation. I don't exactly know when this public grazing situation started, but in our area it's been going for a few years with very good results. With that said, it looks like we're at the cusp of expanding the situation. We're very excited about that with all the positive things that it can bring for the economy and the environment of Minnesota. And one of the things that came up is this situation of liability, and we appreciate everything you're doing.
Thank you. Any questions for the testifier? So, Mr. Reichman, you run cattle yourself?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Are you, if I ask too many personal questions, just let me know. Are you running them on state land as well? Have you been a part of this?
No. Our operation has not been a part of this, but we do have some neighbors, if you will, in our county that are doing it.
Okay. And it's working very well for them then?
It's been a very good situation.
Okay. Okay. Any additional questions for this testifier members? Seeing none, you as well did a great job. Thank you. Thank you so much. So, have another testifier moving forward. So, welcome to the committee. State your name. And I thought you didn't want to come back to agriculture, but I see you here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. Joel Carlson for the Association for Justice. I told Representative Anderson that I would come and just inform the committee that we do not oppose the concept of this bill. We know what they're trying to do. We do have some concerns about the language that we've shared with Representative Anderson and with Bob Meyer from the DNR. We think there's maybe a more efficient way to get to where they're trying to go. I was just up in the Governmental Operations Committee where we did that very same thing for the state walk-in program. So we think there might be a cleaner way to accomplish this objective, but we don't support the concept. We don't oppose the concept, and but think we can clean up the language a little bit. Okay.
And Representative Anderson, are you willing to work with Mr. Carlson here?
Well, very much so, yes. I appreciate his input, and we want to make this as simple as we can and yet to provide the farmer or cattleman the protection that they would like to get.
And Mr. Carlson.
And maybe just for Representative Morrow, but the language in the amendment right now, we actually have some concerns, doesn't accomplish what it is trying to do, because it requires the cattlemen to use reasonable care in the use of the property, which is a negligent standard, and what we're trying to do is actually provide some protection for them. And so we have some concerns that the language doesn't fully accomplish what they're trying to do, and that's what we hope to work out.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Any additional testifiers that would like to testify for or against this bill? Any testify for or against this bill? Any additional questions from members? Representative Anderson, do you have any final words?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to hold this bill over, and in the interim, I will work with Mr. Carlson to come up with some language that, if it fits better, we would have an amendment to put that in the bill.
All right. Thank you, Representative Anderson. Representative Anderson renews his motion to have House File 625 be held over for possible inclusion. Thank you, Representative Anderson. Motion prevails there. There's no motion. Whatever. Members, let's see. Yeah, that's pretty tech. That's, yeah, official. You know what I meant. You know what I meant. That's right. That's right. Oh, yeah. Actually, just a quick house. No meeting tomorrow, right? No meeting tomorrow. Members, if you have any additional policy bills that you'd like heard, get them in so we can meet our deadlines and stuff as well. I'm working with the Senate about a possible Senate omnibus bill, policy bill there. Conversations with Chair Magnus there as well. So no further business? All right. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much.